Luke chapter 2, verse 14, one of the first ever Christmas carols written. And it says this: "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you that we get a chance to come together today and just hang out together, but Lord, to come and worship you, to sing these songs, to pray the prayers, to be encouraged by our children, doing what they're doing, Lord. And now we just want to pray as we listen to your word that you would speak to us clearly and deeply, Lord, and give us ears to listen, each of us, whoever we are, wherever we're from. Help us to listen to what you want to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, let me just repeat those words. All over Christmas cards and stuff at Christmas, Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. There's a lot of talk about peace in the Bible. Jesus himself told his disciples this in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you." In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, this is what Isaiah says about Jesus: "Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end." And so when Jesus came into the world, we're led to believe, at least from the angel's perspective, that peace would follow with him. And my question, I suppose, today is, well, I don't suppose, it is, has it? Has peace come to the world? Has peace come to your house? Never mind the world. Has peace come even into your life? Because when I turn the telly on, or when I read the newspapers, Luke 2, verse 14 sounds a bit hollow, doesn't it? I mean, think about the headlines this week alone, and a couple, obviously, in the last couple of weeks have caught my attention for a number of reasons, but the two cases of those children who were murdered by their parents or those who were supposed to watch out for them, we all saw that, right? I mean, horrific, right? I mean, that is deeply, deeply disturbing stuff. Where's the peace in that situation? Where's the peace of God in Jesus that we all sing about with the Christmas lights shining? What about COVID? It's not going away, is there? A lot of fear and uncertainty about the disease. Are we going to shut down again? Are we not going to shut down again? What are we going to do? Think of our friends. We've got friends in Kentucky, Matthew Spandler Davison and the church out there, and whole communities, whole towns swept away by a hurricane. Families destroyed, people killed. There won't be much peace around that, around their tables this Christmas. Reports coming out of Afghanistan. You're always good to come for a good, cheery Christmas message, isn't there? But Afghanistan, I read a report this week that thousands of children are dying of starvation this Christmas because of ISIS. Basically, they've gone in, they've murdered their parents, and they just left these children to defend or look after themselves. Got wars still raging around the globe. And then turn the telly off, you know. Don't read a paper. Don't look at your iPhone. Just look at yourself. Look at your own house. Look at your own family. Look at your own neighbors. Look at your own friends. Look at this congregation. How many faces I know in this congregation, you may not know, but I know how many people in this congregation are struggling right now, right? How many mental health issues we've got in this church is frankly staggering. Just in our church, people facing and struggling. And you read Luke 2, verse 14, and you think to yourself, is that even true? Peace on earth? And you know, where is the peace that God promises us in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Well, when the angels first sang this song, it was the Romans who ruled the world. And this song was came, Jesus came, sorry, in one of the most peaceful periods in world history. It was known as the Roman Peace. 200 years the Romans ruled without war. Because they'd conquered pretty much everybody, there was nobody left to fight. But that's not the point. They brought peace of a sort. But it was a peace built on the blood of millions of innocent people. It was a world built on the back of millions of slaves. It was a world built on fear and poverty and suffering. This is what one Greek philosopher said in the time of Jesus. While the emperor gave us peace from war on the land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, peace from envy, peace from grief. The emperor cannot give us peace of heart, for which men yearns more than for any other peace. So what is this peace that the angels sing about? Well, to understand it, we need to understand what the word peace means in the Bible. The Greek word, the ancient Hebrew word, if you want to show off at a party, is shalom. Shalom means total peace for the total person. It means satisfaction. It means fulfillment. It means contentment. It means completeness. The word's used over 250 times in the Bible. It means to be a complete and total peace within yourself. And not just within yourself, with your neighbors and with the world around you. How many of us know that kind of peace right now in our lives? Honestly, how many of us know that kind of peace? I'm going to bet none of us. There's always some trauma or thing going on. It's like an episode of EastEnders around here after time. It's like you're like, it's like that. Sometimes in pastoral ministry here, it's like the relay. You deal with someone, and it's like they, when they go out the door, they just pass the baton on to the next one. You go and do them in now. See what you've got. We're struggling. We'd give anything. We'd give anything to have a peace like that, wouldn't we? Would you give anything right now to be totally satisfied, totally fulfilled, totally complete, and totally content? You go to the doctor in a heartbeat if you could get a pill that'd give you that. Here's the truth, though. Far too many of us are unsatisfied with our lives, aren't we? We feel unfulfilled. We feel incomplete. We struggle with contentment. If we're lucky, then Christmas Day might be a bit of a ceasefire for many of us. You know, it's one day of the year, you might just be nice to your family and friends. But, you know, once we get to Boxing Day, hostility's back on, right? Let's all go again. You know, it might mean a Christmas card for your annoying neighbors. But how many of us can honestly say this? How many of us can honestly say this? Listen to me. All is well with my soul, and I am a person truly at peace. How many of us can say this? My heart today and my mind is satisfied, fulfilled, complete, and content. I'm going to say none of us. If we're honest, many of us are constantly troubled, surrounded by chaos. Often we feel tense, don't we? And we're on edge, and we're unhappy, and sometimes we don't even know what we're unhappy about. You go to the docs, and we say, I feel this, and I feel that. The doctor asks you some questions, and you don't know why. The doctor doesn't know why. Nobody seems to know. Why? We battle with our emotions. We struggle with people around us. We get frustrated easily. We're disappointed with life and how it seems to be turning out for us. We get angry at ourselves and others for the choices we have made. Some of us have got unresolved sin in our lives. Some of us are angry, short-tempered, agitated, defensive, argumentative. I've just sort of give you the blanket. That'll cover the whole lot of the congregation and myself in one. When troubles come, we're anything but calm. We struggle to sleep. We overeat. We undereat. We oversleep. We undersleep. We over-medicate. We don't take the medication we should be taking. And sometimes, for some of us, and I've talked to many people in the last 12 months, far too many, in fact, among us, who feel like they've fallen into a deep, dark hole and they don't see any way out of it. And in a sentence, we're lacking this biblical shalom. And so the real question isn't, where is this peace that Jesus, or that the angels promise in Luke chapter 2? Because that peace is real, it's from the Lord. The real question you should be asking is, where the heck do I get this peace? Where can I get that for myself and my life? Well, the angel tells you in the text. It's all in the Bible, by the way. It's all there in Luke 2, verse 14. Look at the verse again, if you've got it before you. If you haven't, let me read it to you. Peace on earth, the angels say, to whom? Literally, it says, to those on whom his favor rests. Now, this verse is often mistranslated on Christmas cards as goodwill to all men. That is not the translation of that text. That is wrong. All right? The translation is, to those on whom his favor rests. Who are those upon whom God's favor rests? The Bible is clear. It's his children. It's his faithful, obedient disciples. The angels of heaven tell us this. The whole peace for the whole person is available to those on whom God's favor rests. In other words, if you want to experience the peace of the Bible, this peace in your soul, this peace beyond understanding and beyond explanation, if you want to experience it, you first have to know Almighty God for yourself. You can't make peace with yourself. You can't make peace with other people. You can't do any of that until you make peace with the Lord. And here's the problem, why many of us are so frustrated and why many of us are so stressed or on edge, is that we're chasing peace in everything but Jesus. Some of us here call ourselves Christian. We say we love Jesus. We say we worship the Lord. And yet our lives tell a completely different story, don't they? We're in turmoil. Chaos. But the angels say this, there is no peace apart from Jesus Christ. The peace of God is only found through faith in Jesus Christ. We can only get the peace of God that the Bible talks about if we turn from chasing after all these things we run after in our life. We turn from our sin and put our faith and trust in Jesus. And here is the key. You'll never find true peace in your life if you're living your life without the Lord. If you're not obeying God, if you are not following Christ through the Bible, then it's little surprise there's no peace in your life, is there? There's little surprise that your insides are chaotic and full of turmoil. Obedience to God is the key to shalom. Now, hear me carefully, because I've got to say this every time I speak in these circles. I am not saying that Jesus is a special magic pill that as soon as you take, your life is instantly free from trouble. That's not what peace is. Peace in the Bible is not free from trouble or free from problems. It's peace in trouble and peace in problems. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus lying on as he lies on the cross and he's dying in agony. How could he do it in such a perfectly peaceful way. Well, he could do it because he was a man, a sinless man, the God man, who walked obediently, perfectly, in the perfect will of the Father. But here's the problem for us. We're not like Jesus. That we say, well, it's all right for Jesus. He was perfect and he was God and he was good. I'm not like that. Correct. You're not like that. I'm not like that. We're hardwired from birth to be disobedient. Even when we know something is bad for us, right? Even when we know a relationship is bad for us, or even a job is bad for us, or pick another thing that is bad for us. Even though we often say, yeah, I know, but I'm going to do this anyway. That's what we do. And that disobedience always leads to chaos, and it never leads to peace. And the Bible says, if you obey the Son and follow his commands, then you will benefit in your soul 100%. And if you don't believe me, listen to Isaiah 26, verse 3. You, that is God, will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, it's an interesting verse. He says, you will keep in perfect peace. Actually, the word translates twice. It literally says, you will keep in perfect peace. It means super peace or a supernatural peace that cannot be shaken by the world. If we put our minds on God, if we focus our thoughts on God, if we think upon spiritual things, Isaiah says, we will know a supernatural peace. And that peace will see us through everything, whether it's good, whether it's bad, the Bible says. We might get cancer. We might have cancer or some serious illness. There's a few of us here who have these things. But if our minds are fixed on God, even though there may not be a cure for us, there is peace for us. That's what God is saying through his words. You know, any doctor friends I've got who say their friends sometimes, it happens rarely these days, unfortunately, but he wants to be healed immediately. But the amount, I was talking to a guy a few years ago about a cancer patient, Christian woman, very quiet. You wouldn't have spotted her in a crowd. And now the whole of the department would just, it was terminal, she was finished. But the whole of the unchristian department couldn't get over the fact about how calm this woman was. How nice, how polite, how just tranquil she seemed, despite the fact that she was going to die. They couldn't explain it. That's the peace. That's the peace of God in Jesus Christ. It cannot be explained away by the world. You lose your job. You lose a loved one. You lose your mind. As bad as these things are, and they can happen to Christians, if we are trusting in Christ. And sometimes we might be just hanging on with the end of our little fingernail. But if we're doing it, sooner or later, the storm clouds will clear and we'll know that peace again. Jesus only could experience the peace he did on the cross because of the peace he experienced with his Father. Let me try to illustrate it for you. Just imagine a car running on fumes. Your car's down to nearly empty. This is a favorite trick by anybody who borrows the church car. Always seem to give it to me to fill up. I mean, I use it for about 30 seconds to go somewhere, and it costs me about 50 quid. Anyway, peace, right? I'm not feeling peace there, I can tell you. Anyway, car running on fumes. You need to get to a garage quick. But there isn't a garage for miles. You don't know if you're going to make it. And sometimes the Christian life is like that. The Holy Spirit fuels us, and sometimes we're full to the brim out. We come to a little carol service, we'll eat a mince pie and sing stuff, and we'll watch the kids miming badly to a song. That'll give us joy, won't it? But most of the time, we've had a tough week, or somebody else has. Most of the time, it's been a struggle, a death, a fight with a loved one, somebody bad-mouthing you. Some serious sin, the fuel gauge, you feel it. You can feel it in your interactions with people. You're running on fumes here. You're on empty. I mean, you're feeling that this is it. The life is getting, I've got, I'm, I've not got long left here. I can't carry on like this much longer. You need to be refueled. Refueled on what? Well, on the things of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. If your car was running on empty, would you fill it with horse manure? Some of you probably would because you're a bit dense. But generally, the answer to that question is no, you wouldn't. Would you fill it with red wine? No. Why not? Because your car is built with a specific or particular fuel in mind. If the car doesn't get that fuel, then what happens? The car dies. The car stops working. It stops functioning. It's not taking you a meter any further. You can't put a cheap knockoff substitute in its place and hope to get away with it. Well, we are spiritual beings, aren't we? The Holy Spirit is the fuel that we need to keep continuing on in the Christian life. And the petrol station is the church, isn't it? It's God's people. It's where we come to be refueled. It's where we allow God, we come in on a Sunday, we allow God to take a quick look under the bonnet to see what needs tinkering with, see what needs fixing. It's different for all of us. But if we don't fill it regularly, then we're going to run out of spiritual fuel very quickly and we are going to die. You'll come to a stop. And you can try and do anything you want in your life to fill yourself up with any other thing that the world has to offer. But nothing comes close to the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus offers a different peace than the world offers. Jesus offers us a peace whether you're at war, whether you're not. Jesus offers you a peace whether you're healthy, whether you're sick. Jesus offers you a peace, and hear this one, whether you feel like it or whether you don't feel like it. It's not a peace brought on by Valium or antidepressants. It's not a message to say that you should stop taking these things. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Okay? It's not the peace of a nice spliff at night to get your head on the pillow. It's the peace of Jesus Christ. It's a peace that gets us through even when we're mourning, even when we're struggling, even when we are depressed. You know, the angels in Luke 2, verse 14, they're not offering the world a superficial peace when they first sang this song. They're talking about an eternal spiritual peace only available to true Christians. And if this sort of deep, joyful peace is missing from your life today, then you need to open up your heart and your mind to Jesus Christ. Come and sit here and pretend all your life that your life is great. It's going the way you wanted it to. Everything's wonderful. There's not a problem in your life, not a problem in your family, that you don't hate your neighbors downstairs because they're too loud. Pretend all that you want. But God knows the score. God knows the truth. And there is no peace. You'll go to your grave without any peace at all. You don't turn to Christ. What's interesting is this. The answer to the unbeliever who has no peace and the answer to the believer who struggles with peace is the same thing, isn't it? So all I've got here every week is basically me talking for 15 minutes and then just ending on Jesus, right? We've all worked that out, right? Okay. Because that's what we've got. He's everything to us. If you are a weary Christian here this today, if you're feeling beaten up by life, if you're tired, if you're stressed, if you're depressed, if you're tearful, fearful, anxious, discontent, unfulfilled, or even angry, run to the Prince of Peace. Ask the Lord for this shalom. Give me these things. They're yours. If you're a Christian, they're already yours. Go and collect them. Ask the Spirit. He will give to you. Most Christians pray wrongly in the church. I'll end with this. Most Christians pray wrongly in the church. This is what most Christians pray. They pray, Lord, take away my fill in the blank. my depression, my cancer, my fear, you know, my neighbors, this problem person. Here's what we ought to be praying in light of Luke 2, verse 14. Lord, give me peace in the problems that I am currently facing right now. Give me peace. Give me deliverance, please. But if that's not the case, then Lord, give me peace in them, because that's what I need most of all. Let me leave you with 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 16. This is a prayer for the church. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. Amen.